Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
FIBA World Cup action, and welcome into hour number two. This is The Early Line. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He is Mike Blewett. You're watching live on the Sports Grid Network. No better place to be here. So let's keep it with the basketball theme here. The FIBA World Cup's coming up this weekend, which includes Team USA. They're going to play on Saturday morning, something to keep an eye on. But before we get there, let's just take a look at what's been actually been going on, because this isn't one of those tournaments where it's just going to show up cold. Hey, you get what you get. Team USA, Mike Blewett, has been playing very well in the preliminary games here, both starters and backups finding ways to win, and that is equated to some odds changes here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It was pretty tightly contested about 2 to 3 weeks ago on the odds market, but now we see Team USA as a minus 130 favorite to win this tournament, followed by Australia at plus 750, Canada also at plus 750, Serbia and Spain coming in behind them at 15-1 and 14-1 respectively here. Before we get into like MVP, Team USA looking pretty good here though in the prelims though.
Yeah, I think to your point, we don't often get a long look at how these players might gel together. And I think honestly, anytime that Team USA has an opportunity to get a roster together, a dedicated roster together, and get some time to play together, it's a massive advantage to them, right? We know that other international teams often are playing together more often. And in these tournaments, it's tripped up Team USA in the past. That's not the case here. To your point, they are way shorter odds than they were might likely to be if this was just kind of a quick one-off tournament. But the training camp and the ability to play together for weeks, I think it's a foregone conclusion now. I don't dismiss the talent of the other teams, but I just don't think they're in a position to beat this Team USA.
You know, it's interesting, too, in this tournament, because so many times we think about times like, you know, the 1992 Dream Team, where it's like the best of the best that ever laced them up is going to be Team USA. They'll walk by and beat everybody. This is one of those teams here that we don't have a first team all NBA roster that's like, oh, man, just roll the basketball if they're going to handle their business, which I kind of like, because you see the competitive environment that you're being in. It's like, hey, you know what? We're not runaway victors here. If you put the single best unit you can on the court for Team USA, what are we talking about? Minus 450, minus 550, minus 600 to win this tournament. The fact that it's a minus 130, and also going from the scoring here in the preliminary games, it's not as if Team USA is winning 120 to 62 every single ball game. They'll be into it here, but I do like the fact that they were very competitive. Whether or not they were playing their starters in this tournament or not, I think that certainly bodes well for them here. Let's also take a look at, before we hit the MVP market, game number one for Team USA heading into this tournament, as I said, Saturday morning at 8:40 Eastern. They're going to take on New Zealand, -35.5. Now, I'm not going to ask you to break this game down and say how they really match up with New Zealand, but if we're looking at that high point number here, you know Team USA is going to win. How would you handle like betting into that market? Is it, hey, Team USA is going to blow them off the court and win by 40, or look, we know they're going to win. What's the point of running everybody out there full gas for the entire length of the game just to cover that number? How would you bet that number? Taking the points or laying the 35.5 in game number one of a tournament?
I've talked to some people in the past that will tell you that you should just bet that number blind and take all the points. Like, why would you ever lay 35.5 points in a basketball game? And I generally concur with that. But based on everything we just said, is this number actually creating some value for you? Is Team USA going to come out game one, blow everybody's doors off, and try to impress? Probably not, to be honest. I just don't think that's the way that they're going to try to win this tournament. Yes, you can do it with style, but I think you try to do it in style when you get into the semifinals and the finals. I don't think you need the style points now. But when you look at the roster and the way they're constructed, they have athleticism with Anthony Edwards. Jaren Jackson Jr. has proven to be one of the really the best players in this run-up. You have Tyrese Haliburton and 3-and-D guys like Michael Bridges. And I just think that this is a very difficult team to beat. It's constructed with a lot of young athletic players. And I don't think a New Zealand team is going to know what hit them, to be honest. But 35.5, don't you just have to bet it blind the other way?
It seems like you do there. Let's welcome in the radio audience. Like, you're watching and listening live here to the early line.
70 yeah. And you lose.
Blow them out.
105 to 70 just, and you lose.
Yep. Just see what they can do there in that second half. Because, again, we're not talking about an elimination game. We're not talking about, oh, we need to win this game by 55 points to win our bracket or our seeding here. Usually in the first game. Now, there is no correlation overall to what the women's soccer team did in game one of the World Cup, where it's like, okay, what are you favored by? 6.5 goals. You only won by 3, but who cares? We won the game. It was by 3, and it's no big deal. If we take a look at the MVP market, of course, it's going to be heavily related to Team USA. Anthony Edwards, currently the favorite at a plus 280 price. Jalen Brunson at a 7-1 price. If we extend it a little bit more worldwide, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a 10-1 price on Team Canada. Is it one of those where you say, you know what? I'll just spray the board with Team USA here. But it looks like there's a number of players that can actually win this. Or is Anthony Edwards just the best of the bunch and he'll lead the scoring? Therefore, he will be the MVP if Team USA wins.
That's probably the right approach. But that's kind of a boring bet, right? If we're having a little bit of fun, let's go down the board a little bit. I mentioned Jaren Jackson Jr. He's been written about a lot in this run-up at 20-1. That's pretty interesting to me. I think Tyrese Haliburton is another guy that can put up some stats. But, yeah, spray the board with Team USA. But take some longer shots.
Take some longer shots. Is it a long shot who's actually going to start for quarterback at Ohio State? Let's talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, people, week zero starts this weekend in college football. It is officially game week, but we got to go over some news and notes in college football to get you set for the regular season, which includes a coach that might not be set for the regular season for at least the first three games. That's Coach Jim Harbaugh of the Michigan Wolverines. And it looks like they have a self-imposed, not an NCAA-imposed, a self-imposed suspension for Harbaugh that will last three games in 2023. And if there's any backdrop to this, it came from the COVID era, illegal practices here, illegal recruiting here, guys on campus that shouldn't be. It turns out that they tried to make a deal with the NCAA, which would have been four games. But the NCAA rejected that four games. So then Michigan comes back and goes, okay, you didn't want the four games. Instead of us making it five or six, we'll make it three here. So a little game of cat and mouse between Michigan and also the NCAA. But let's be honest with ourselves. Mike, is this really a big deal that Harbaugh is going to miss these 3 10 bell games to start the season?
Nope. Like we said at the top of the show, they will not leave the state of Michigan, and they'll play East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green. They'll be heavily favored in all three of those matchups. It's a veteran team that Harbaugh or not, you would expect to handle their business pretty easily. I would say, though, that the self-imposed ban does not mean that this has been put to rest, obviously.
Correct.
The NCAA can step in and ban him further. They could ban him this season. They could ban him next season. However long they take, which can often be a very long time in order to get it settled, it will take as long as they choose. Now, there's a new NCAA president in place in Charlie Baker, the former governor of Massachusetts, and he seemingly may want to handle things a little bit differently, perhaps more quickly. But the thing that's important to remember about all these NCAA infractions violations is the schools themselves are the ones really making these recommendations. Michigan about themselves in this self-imposed ban. But It's really the other schools and committees that formulate the punishments. It's not the NCAA in Indianapolis acting on their own and handing out punishments. They're working with the schools in order to figure out what punishments are appropriate. And very often, the schools don't want to harshly punish someone else because it could come back to bite them when their own coach has stepped in something.
And also, let's take a look at the bigger part of the equation, too. You're going to miss three games here for Harbaugh, and that's why I preface games here. In the NFL, Mike, as we know, if you are suspended, let's just say, for three games, you can't go to the facility. You can't be in contact with your coaches. Right. You can't get playbooks. That's where they come up with the burner phones and, hey, let's have exchanges here that nobody's going to know about. Harbaugh is going to be able to show up on the minute the game ends to break down tape and then also coach the entire week, basically right up to kickoff, and just can't be on the sidelines here for Michigan. But again, how much coaching do they actually need leading up to some of these games? Probably not much, and I do figure that the assistant coaches can handle that. And also, if we take a look from the players' perspective, they're the same way we are, Mike. It says, quote, "We're going to back anything that goes on with Coach Harbaugh. Like Coach Harbaugh says, get better, not bitter. And that's exactly what we're going to do," end quote, which basically means we're on autopilot here. Coach going to give us the playbook here during the week. We're going to execute it. An assistant coach is going to call the plays, and we'll see Coach after the game and celebrate a victory.
Very similar spreads, Donnie. We're just talking about the U.S. 35.5-point favorites over New Zealand. Michigan, 35.5-point favorites over East Carolina in week one, September 2nd, noon in Ann Arbor. So, like you said, the players are going to back him. I think they're going to back him all the way to a big victory against East Carolina. And again, we'll have to wait, and it could be a long waiting game as to whether or not this suspension is extended.
Let's take a look here at the FanDuel Sportsbook at some of the odds here for the Big Ten Conference Championship winner. The first three, pretty easy to pick out. So Ohio State at plus 165, Michigan at plus 180, Penn State at 6-1. Then you follow by Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota. And you say to yourself, well, why is Wisconsin only plus 950 or Iowa only 12-1 if Penn State is 6-1? Well, somebody's got to show up on the other side to meet either Ohio State, Penn State, or Michigan in the Big Ten final. But is it just so easy this year to say, it's Ohio State, it's Michigan, just pick one of those two and you will have the winner?
I think there's some backing Penn State. I'm not one of them, but I think there's some people out there backing Penn State. I think the quarterback battle, which we'll probably get into in a moment, at Ohio State probably has some people a little bit more, creating a little bit more trepidation around Ohio State than it otherwise would, but a supremely talented team. And I think it's them in Michigan. I think that's the race. I don't even really consider Penn State in their class. Upsets happen. They can knock off one of the teams. It really just takes, in this kind of race, Donnie, it just takes the one loss to knock the team out. And that big game, Ohio State and Michigan, will be really important at the end of November.
It certainly will be. And it's also interesting. Again, the Big Ten has more than 10 teams in it, but it just feels like it's basically a three-man race all in the same division here, if you do include Penn State, where a lot of these teams are going to be skating. Like, you're going to be having shows here talking about, hey, by the way, finally we get a good game here for Michigan or Penn State in late October and early November. The Big Ten's going to have some highly rated teams here. Now, eventually, they will knock each other off late in the season, but we're not seeing those, hey, you're going in to play Wisconsin, which used to be a really tough game, or maybe Purdue can surprise. We might not get that this year in the Big Ten, but again, some front runners here. We'll see if they can make it work with Ohio State and Michigan. Keeping with Ohio State here, a lot more question marks here. Forget about the question marks of Harbaugh being on the sideline. Michigan knows who their starting quarterback is. Apparently, Ohio State does not yet, Mike. If we take a look here, Ryan Day at his press conference said, quote, "They both deserve to play," they being Devin Brown and Kyle McCord. We always used to say, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks. What's going to happen here with Ohio State? And do you see this possibly being an issue if they go dual quarterback system for a few weeks?
I don't think it will be an issue if they do it for a couple of weeks. And if this is true, what Ryan Day said is true, I think it is a productive way about it. He's been brutally honest with both guys all the way throughout. At points, he felt like Devin Brown was in front. At points, he thought McCord was in front, and then Brown played his way back into it. He said he's been honest with both guys, that you had a little bit of a lead, and now he's come back to pull ahead. So I think in these first few games, and now they open with conference game at Indiana, then Youngstown State, Western Kentucky, and then at Notre Dame, I'd imagine by the Notre Dame game, you're going to have to want it settled, but I can see this stretching out into these first three games, all three games. Well, the first game is a road game at Indiana, and then the next two in Columbus. So I'd imagine the September 23rd game at Notre Dame will be the area where we have it settled, whether it's McCord or Brown. I'd guess McCord, only because he has more experience, but it seems like it really is a race. They were both highly rated recruits. McCord a little bit higher, but still both highly rated recruits.
Yeah, Urban Meyer, only a couple of years ago while he was still at Ohio State, there was a game where they opened up where he basically had both of the quarterbacks stand next to him and he was going to touch a shoulder pad to let them know who the starter will be. So certainly familiarity here with Ohio State, which waiting to the last minute to get one of those quarterbacks out here. Let's take a quick look at the AP All-America team here from a Fox College Football tweet. No surprise, Caleb Williams there at quarterback, Blake Corum at running back, one of my favorite players in the country, Brock Bowers at tight end, and also some things that do stick out. If you are a quarterback, yes, you want to certainly get in the coach's office and say, it's got to be me. Why? Marvin Harrison Jr. and Emeka Egbuka as starting wide receivers on the first team All-America squad. They're in good hands at wide receiver every year, it feels like, Mike.
Yeah, Brian Hartline now, the former wide receiver coach, now the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. They were talking about Brian Hartline last night on the broadcast, talking about
the number
of guys that he puts out into the NFL that are producing at a very high level. Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba is a rookie now with the Seahawks and on and on, just very productive players. I am curious the type of numbers that Marvin Harrison can put up. Is it enough to make him an actual Heisman contender if Ohio State gets to the promised land in the playoff again?
Yeah, Dad was a pretty good wide receiver as well. My goodness, college football starting up this week in week zero. Let's talk about some Major League Baseball. It's going down today, and we got it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a Tuesday morning in Major League Baseball, now going to take center stage. Full card, some interesting pitchers that you can back, that you can fade. But as always, we want to start this off by making some money. Now, for myself, the past couple of days, look, winning two legs, losing one, winning a leg here, losing a leg there. Same game parlays haven't been as profitable as they have been in the past few weeks. But today is a new day, as we like to say. So let's not hold off any longer. This is the FanDuel Sportsbook Same Game Parlays. All right, let's head out to the West Coast tonight. 9:40 start. I believe that I have a same-game parlay. That is three legs. It's going to make the people some money out here. So, Ron Burgundy once said, you stay classy, San Diego, and that's what we're hoping for tonight. This is a three-leg parlay that's going to start for me with the San Diego Padres on the money line. I'm going to black Blake Snell. He has been tremendous over the past 60 days in Major League Baseball. I expect another dominant performance out of him tonight. But we're going to keep it simple with the lineup here for the San Diego Padres, going up against Jesus Luzardo, who doesn't have, actually, over the past 6 weeks or so, bad xFIP numbers. But he does have some struggling numbers here based on weighted on base percentages and ISO power numbers, particularly against lefty and righty batters over the past 30 days. If we're taking a look at the lineup, I'm going right for the heart of the order, and I'm not asking for a lot here. One base hit out of Juan Soto, one base hit out of Manny Machado, coupled with a San Diego Padres victory tonight over the Marlins, and quite frankly, playoff atmosphere here. Both of these teams do need victories here to climb back into the wild card race. That is going to pay off at a plus 194 price. So you stay classy, San Diego, and we will make some cash tonight on our FanDuel Sportsbook Same Game Parlay. Now, Mike Blewett, let's get to the card tonight. Let's see if we can make some money. And this is going to start in the city of brotherly love, who last night, the Philadelphia Phillies rolled the Giants here, scoring double digits, which included home runs in a multitude of ways, which included, listen up to this right here, Bryce Harper's in the park home run.
Harper out to center field. Meckler going back toward the State Farm side. He's in trouble. It's rolling along the warning track. Harper's speeding around second, heading to third. Dusty's going to wave him home. It was bobbled in center field. Harper's coming home. He'll score sliding.
And there you go. Bryce Harper doing it the old-fashioned way. Mike Blewett circling the base pass here. A big victory for the Philadelphia Phillies after, by the way, terrible performance in the Little League Classic against the Washington Nationals on Sunday Night Baseball. But let's take a look at the game today. The Giants and the Phillies jockeying for wild card positioning. Favorite here for the Phillies today at a minus 144 price and a total that's listed at 9. Pitchers on the mound, Taijuan Walker for the Philadelphia Phillies, Harrison for the Giants, making his major league debut and also just doing some research. He hasn't fared all that well in AAA. No. So if we're looking at the game tonight, Mike, from your perspective, what do we see here?
Well, first of all, Bryce made that easily, by the way, the inside the Parker. Made it very easily. So I know it took a big ricochet, but Bryce got in there very easily for the inside the Parker, going old school on that one. It is a curious time to have a major league debut, right? We haven't seen good numbers out of him recently in the minors, and he's coming into a hostile environment in Philly in games that are very high leverage games for them at this point. So I think they just need to extend the rotation a little bit here as they get into September. You see some spot starts like this, but I think this is a tough one. I would not want to be a rookie in a position like this. Now, to play the other side of it, Donnie, and I know a lot of teams struggle with this, my own New York Yankees, which I'm going to see tonight, struggle with this. When they see a pitcher for the first time, they don't have a lot of tape on him. Could it throw them off? Is it not a beginner's luck situation, but we don't have any tape on him. We don't know what we're going to get. It's a little too unpredictable for us. I'm going to side with the Phillies on this one. I think the rookie has a tough first start.
Yeah, if we take a look at his appearances here in minor league baseball this year, he's actually has 65 and two-thirds innings pitched in AAA, a 4.66 ERA, which, again, you would like to see that better, but the all-important numbers there, like the xFIP numbers, over a 5 here, and that's a pretty good sample size of 65 innings now taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. He is a left-handed pitcher, but however, the Philadelphia Phillies, even over the last 30 days, Mike, have hit left-handed pitching extremely well. In the middle of that lineup, if we take a look at Trey Turner all the way down to JT Realmuto, 390, 454, 400, 381, and 537, the weighted on base percentages here for the Philadelphia Phillies. So we'll see if they can get the good times to continue to roll. But you would expect the Phillies to have a pitching advantage coming off momentum of last night. But as we've seen so many times with the Philadelphia Phillies, pounding up numbers and all of a sudden, oh no, one run, zero, two runs here, not enough to keep up. This is a playoff atmosphere in Philadelphia as both of these teams, once again, are jockeying for position. We'll see what happens in that one. Let's keep it moving here. Another team that's red hot and certainly trying to make their way into the playoffs. That's the Chicago Cubs. And certainly they have their eye on the Philadelphia Phillies and the San Francisco Giants, who they actually passed last night, being the San Francisco Giants, into that second wild card spot. Today, they're going to throw Smiley on the mound versus Olsen, a favorite here for the Cubs, very slight at a minus 116 price and a total of 8.5. Riding the good times here with the Cubs here for today, Mike. What do you think?
Reese Olsen coming off a tough start here too. His last time out, 2 2/3, gave up 8 hits and 4 runs. Starts before that were a little bit better, but 3 starts in August, only one was really a quality start. So, as you said, the good times might keep rolling for the Cubs as they go up against a pitcher who's struggling later in the season.
Boy, I'll tell you something. When you take a look at the Cubs lineup, too, and again, this has been quite some time, but against right-handed pitching, left-handed pitching, they stack up pretty well. Olsen is a right-handed pitcher who does have decent statistics over the past 30 days. 125 ISO power number against him and a 332 weighted on base percentage. But you look at the Cubs lineup tonight, outside of Christopher Morel's, a 296 weighted on base percentage over the past month against right-handed pitchers. Take a look at these weighted on base percentages here, starting with Talkman, 370, 407, 402, 472. 364, 456, 381. It's a lineup that certainly, if you're struggling at all, you don't want to face in the Cubs. But if we turn it over to the other side, you say, well, Donnie, Mike, come on, it's Drew Smiley on the mound here. What gives? That's why that number is minus 116. Yeah. But if you're trying to line up pitchers who, I don't like Smiley at all, but the simple fact of the matter is the Detroit Tigers, they don't hit left-handed pitching at all. Last month, look at these ISO power numbers. Outside of Torkelson at a 269, 0, 080, 067, 056, 0, 059, 056. It's been really bad. And maybe the Cubs bats just say, you know what? we're better than the bats for the Detroit Tigers. Forget about the pitching matchups altogether over at this point here. Cardinals and the Pirates today. Neither one of these teams really factoring in, but the game is interesting because I don't think Wainwright's all that good, and neither is Oviedo. A minus 138 price here on the Pittsburgh Pirates and a total of 9.5. Any thoughts, any chances to back Adam Wainwright tonight for you, Mike?
I'm so much more likely to bet a total here than I am to back either of the teams. That's because the pitching is struggling, but 9.5 is a pretty big number. Is it the type of number that you wait to bet it live and hope for a little bit of, a couple of first couple of innings, you get through them without any runs and you can bet a lower total over? That's the only thing. That's the one angle I would consider, but I'm leaning to the over. I think we're going to get into the bullpens pretty early in this one.
I absolutely think so as well. Let's fit in one more game here before we head to the break, and that's the Washington Nationals and the New York Yankees, which Mike Bluett will be live center stage for this one. Josiah Gray is going to be on the mound for the Nationals. Carlos Rondon here for the New York Yankees. The Yankees, a heavy favorite at a minus 196 in a total listed at 8.5. This is one team of the Yankees that isn't playing well at all. The Nationals actually playing decent baseball. Almost a 2-1 tax on the Yanks tonight. What gives in this game, Mike?
Yeah, it's a little too much, but Josiah Gray's last three starts gave up 5 runs, 4 runs, 5 runs. Mm-hmm. He has not gotten out of the fifth inning in his last three starts. He's going against Rodon, is making his first start off the IL. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of runs in the Bronx, although the Yankees don't seem to be able to hit, not for the last month anyway. I just think this is a tax, to your point, on Josiah Gray struggling and coming into Yankee Stadium. But backing Rodon coming off the IL seems like a foolish errand. I expect the Yankees to win this ball game only because I think they're able to maybe wash off these last 8 games with a day off, and they get to do it at home. But again, I don't say that confidently, because Rodon wasn't good even in the starts that he was making. And then he obviously left with an injury. So I'll be there taking it in. It's more for the kids to have fun than it is for me to win money on this bet. But I'll back the Yankees tonight, but at an extremely heavy price. That's a tough one.
Yeah, walking around, just take them around Monument Park. They're like, hey, this one, the Yankees used to be good kids here. Try to check out these things.
I took my son to Monument Park last time I was there. And it's a very cool experience, but it is so crowded. There are so many people online that they just snake you in and out of there and tell you to take a picture, keep it moving, take a picture, keep it moving. Yep. So it's not like the old days where you'd have to book a time and hang out for a little bit. You're just rolling through there. I took as many as I could, but man, it is not for the faint of heart. You're in and out of there in 10 minutes tops.
There you go. And how about this? Maybe in and out of there in 10 minutes is Carlos Rodon at this point. You take a look at his 122 batters that he's faced on the season. It's been bad. ISO power number 265, really weighted on base percentage 364. And also he's a lefty. So you might be saying to yourself, like, well, at least he's good against lefties, right? Maybe he struggles a little against righties. That's not the case. Lefties and righties beating him around. And also you take a look at the Yankees heading into the season. It's like, okay, if we have, Gerrit Cole, who's pitching as well as he's pitched this year. And then you say, okay, Rodon slides into the two. We'll figure out the 3, 4, and 5, and away we go. That's at least a wild card positioning. Boy, the Yankees have certainly turned on bad times now, to say the least, but also a couple young guys coming up today. So keep an eye on that lineup here. That's probably going to get some changes tonight. Will it make a difference for the Yankees? Probably not, but hey, if there's 5.5 weeks to go, it's no better time to start a winning streak than the day you're going to currently play here. And Mike will be in the ball yard tonight, so maybe a little bit of good luck here for those New York Yankees. The Major League Baseball preview is going to continue next year, so don't go anywhere. Keep it with us right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A lot of Major League Baseball games today with playoff implications. We're going to roll through as many as we possibly can, which includes the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles. How about this pitching matchup? Kikuchi versus Rodriguez. And look at the line. Baltimore is home against Toronto, a minus 116 price, slight favorite for the Baltimore Orioles at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a total that's listed at 8. If you look at both of these pitchers, let's just go back even over the past 30 days. They have been absolutely sensational. Playoff atmosphere, low total in Baltimore. What gives in this game, Mike? We back in the Jays, the Orioles, and over and under? What do you think here?
Unders are always tough to me. I think this is a situation, as you said, both pitchers have been so good. I think we're looking for a situation where a run line may come into play or an under may come into play. We've talked so much about the bad pitching on the games leading up to this that if we finally get to flip the script the other way and maybe take an under. As you said, playoff atmosphere, I think these teams are going to be going at it, and they've been playing well as of late. Clearly, the Orioles, 30 games over 500. We talked about the Jays earlier in the show trying to position themselves better for a wild card. So let's go when they're under. I like a low-scoring game here tonight.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one, too, because if you take a look at the pitching matchup again, you say Kikuchi started out the season absolutely horrific, but he's been sensational as of late. Let's just take a look at the last month in Major League Baseball for him. You take a look at a K rate combined between lefty and righty batters at 25%. You take a look at the ISO power number through 97 batters, an 0.54, and a weighted on base percentage of 239. That is absolutely sensational. But also, when you're taking a look at a pitcher here, a lot of people on this Baltimore Orioles staff go, you know, they're not really household names. But my goodness, Grayson Rodriguez over the past month for himself, 95 batters, he's faced an 0.47 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 209. Even though truly it is a hitter's ballpark down there at Camden Yards. You take a look at the temperatures tonight, 78 degrees, a light wind blowing in. But if I'm looking at a playoff atmosphere and everything on the line, two good pitchers here, you might be looking at a first five under. But if I'm willing to bet and say, okay, Mike, it takes 9 runs to beat me, I'm probably more likely not to see 9 runs than I am to getting anything around that 10, 11, or 12 range. I would lean on the under in this game just because, number one, playoffs, and number two, I really like these two pitchers coming in hot here. We'll see if that certainly can hold up here. Let's take a look at another New York team who's certainly been underachieving this season, but showing some signs of life at the plate. That's the New York Mets and the Atlanta Braves. Elder versus McGill, a heavy favorite for the Braves. No surprise there at a minus 235 price, but a total that's listed at 10.5 for this game. So if we're looking at weather conditions, here's what you like about Atlanta tonight, Mike. 90 degrees, wind blowing out the right center field, and that Braves offense. Are we looking at runs tonight, or from your perspective, maybe a dog price in the Mets? What do you think?
I think the Braves are just on fire. Now best record in baseball. They're coming off of 2 straight losses, but 7 of their last 10, so I think they're hitting their groove. I think this is, you're looking at sort of championship Braves baseball right now. They're formulating that run for the next month as they probably end up with the best record in baseball. I do think there's a bunch of runs here. Like you said, heavy price for the Braves at home, obviously, but I think you're looking at runs. The one thing you said that I was just speaking about this yesterday is, yes, the Mets have waved the white flag, but the lineup has shown some signs of life. So finally hitting when the pressure is off. But you'd have to wonder, I mean, getting over, it's a big number, like you said. 10.5 is a really big number to try to get there. But maybe it's another situation where we're waiting and betting it live. Maybe we don't have a couple of runs in the first couple of innings, and we bet the over if it comes down in a live way. Baseball, obviously, Donnie, we talk about this on a regular basis, is a really interesting sport to bet live because you're going to get certain advantages if you just time it out.
Exactly. Even live team totals. Like, you might get a game like, man, I really thought the Braves would hit. They have one run here in the fifth inning. And you say, okay, look at the live over-under, 2.5 as opposed to maybe 5.5 at game time here. Right. So there is value in that. And also, you brought up a good point, Mike. Yeah, you bring up a really good point, though, when you're taking a look at, this is an individualized sport here. So Francisco Lindor, Jeff McNeil, Pete Alonso, and Daniel Vogelbach don't go, I'll go up and strike out, man. I just don't even feel like being here. No, they don't do that here because you're paid based on your statistics. You're going to get an honest at-bat every time up. The reason I bring that up is against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, you don't really think too much of the Mets here. But look at Nimmo, 401, Lindor, 430, McNeil, 352, Alonso, 450, Vogelbach, 368. And how about DJ Stewart coming alive here, 362 weighted on base percentage against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. And of course, we know about that Atlanta lineup. So devastating here. Tyler McGill has really struggled with left-handed batters. That puts you square there with Michael Harris II, Matt Olson, Eddie Rosario. I mean, they just come after you in wave after wave after wave. It sounds like a lot, 10 and a half runs. But again, in a ballpark where the ball carries and you're going to be at 90 degrees at first pitch here tonight, we might be looking at one of those games that gets a ton of runs scored. We'll see what happens. But as Mike pointed out too, hey, if it's only 1-1 after three innings, you might get some value on that total because sooner or later, some fireworks probably are going to pop. Boston Red Sox, Houston Astros, Houck versus Verlander. The Astros pick up a win yesterday, looking to chase down the Texas Rangers in the AL West. They're a favorite today at a minus 164 price and a total that's listed at 8.5. Beat the Sox last night. Are we looking to beat them again today, Mike?
We talked about the Astros a lot earlier in the show and how they're positioning themselves for potential to, you know, they're the third shortest odds in the entire league to win a World Series. So while the Sox have played better as of late, and Don, I don't know if you're in the same position as I am. I'm a little surprised how this Sox season has ended up. I'm not saying that they've been great by any means, but
yeah,
they're now 7 games over .500. And that was a team that we thought was dead back in May. So they've battled through. They battled through having zero expectations, not doing anything in the trade deadline that made them anything better or worse than what they were. They're just playing the season out. But they have made some moves to try to bolster the team long term as well. I just think it's been a surprising season for them because I thought it could totally fall apart in the way that the Yankees have fallen apart.
Yeah,
but they've battled through it. I still like the Astros tonight, obviously, in a significant way. What's our run? What's our total? Is it 8.5? Yeah, 8.5. With they're on the bump, I'm going to say this one plays to the under as opposed to me betting a heavily favored Astros team that I think gets the W.
Yeah, Tanner Houck's on the mound. Keep in mind, he hasn't pitched for a couple months here, so coming back, we'll see how long that leash is. But if we're just looking at that Houston Astros perspective against right-handed pitching over the past month in Major League Baseball, particularly the first five guys in that lineup, Altuve, 444, Bregman, 405, Tucker, 371, Alvarez, 365, and Diaz, a 489 weighted on base percentage. Should be interesting to watch that play out. And again, a lot of playoff implications technically for both teams if the Red Sox want to continue here to make a run and try to see if they can sneak into a wild card spot. One of those teams that's absolutely red hot looking at a wild card spot, that's those Seattle Mariners who pounded the Chicago White Sox last night. Today, it's going to be Wu on the mound for the Mariners going up against Clevinger. If we set the table for this, the Mariners once again will be a favorite here on the road at a minus 156 price and a total that is listed at 9. Let me just see if we have weather condition updates. 83 degrees at first pitch, no rain in the forecast, a light wind blowing in from center field. Sometimes, Mike, is it just so simple to say to yourself, boy, oh boy, I'm not fading Seattle at this point.
Yeah, I think that's possible, but Mike Clevinger's actually been pretty good as of late. You know, he's 7 innings last time out, didn't give up a run before that, 6 innings, 1 run, and the 2 starts before that, you know, at least decent starts. So I think there's a possibility that his pitching can battle here. And while the White Sox are a team that has confounded a lot of people for the last couple of seasons, I think you can look at that day's starter. It's an old adage, right? You're only as good as your next day's starter. Well, Mike Clevinger's been pretty darn good. And as red hot as the Mariners are, they're not going to win them all. I think Clevinger keeps them in this game. So I think it's a little sneaky play here for the White Sox to possibly steal one with Clevinger on the mound.
Yeah, we'll see if they can sneak under the total, too, because you're right with Clevinger. Last 30 days in Major League Baseball, how about this ISO in 076 combined with a 249 weighted on base percentage? That lineup has started to wake up for the Seattle Mariners, one of those teams that I sort of equate to the Brewers in so many ways. Hey, you might get good frontline starting pitching, but, boy, it's real iffy in that lineup. But if you took it at Crawford, Rodriguez, Suarez, Rally, and France, all of those guys have very good weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. We'll see how that game plays out here. If we keep moving down the list. Again, more playoff implications. It's great in Major League Baseball on this card today. The Marlins and the Padres, Luzardo versus Snell. Snell now up to a minus 178 favorite here over the Marlins and a total that's listed at 7.5. And by the way, the over 7.5, that's a plus 100 price here. True pitchers, ballpark, two decent pitchers on the mound. My same game parlay went with this game. Need a base hit for Machado, a base hit here for Soto, and a win for the San Diego Padres on the money line. That's going to pay us out tonight. I think it happens. From your your perspective here for the Marlins, fading at the wrong time right here, but also maybe the Padres can start to get those good vibes back by picking up series wins here and say, you know what? Maybe we can make a run to the playoffs. But as you pointed out, Mike, look, we didn't just start the season. We're not 15 games into it. You're 100 plus games in. You're under 500. Maybe that run just isn't coming.
Yeah, at the risk of talking out of both sides of my mouth, like I did earlier, 126 games, you are what your record says you are, right? You can't just say, we've got some bad breaks. It's like you're six games under 500. But when you look at their run differential, it belies a team that should be about 10 games over 500. So I think it's impossible for me to sit here and say, you know what? I really think they've just caught some bad breaks and I think they'll turn it around. But the reality is they have a ton of talent. They're not 15 games below 500. To your point, they can pick up series wins. And by Labor Day, we'll be sitting here and say, you know what? They're back to 500 and they're not that far out of the race. In fact, they're in the race if they're at 500 right now in the National League. With Snell on the mound, I think this is an opportunity for them to pick up another win. Like you said, keep it rolling here a little bit so that they don't slide further out. But if they're still six games under 500 by the end of next week, write them off completely.
Yeah, you got to make it. And also, it's always good to play teams that are ahead of you in the standings, therefore gaining games on them directly. They can do that again against the Marlins tonight. Let's squeeze in one more game. The Rangers and the Diamondbacks out of the West Coast. If you're looking for the Rangers to break up their losing streak, well, you certainly probably don't want up against Zach Gallen at home for the Arizona Diamondbacks, as the Diamondbacks are a favorite here at a minus 132 price and a total of 8. Do the Rangers break through tonight? And can they break through against Zach Gallen?
Yeah, a total of 8 with Zach Gallen on the mound. So it's a little higher than some of the other games we've already talked about. So is the thought that the Diamondbacks lineup gets to Gray. Can the Rangers break through against Zach Gallen on the road? Don't like their chances tonight. You got the Diamondbacks at minus 132. Obviously, fairly heavy favorite, but a lot shorter favorite than we've talked about, a lot longer favorite, I should say, than some of the other teams we've already talked about with. I mean, hell, the Yankees are a lot more heavily favored than the Diamondbacks are tonight, and Zach Gallen certainly not pitching for the Yankees. So I think this is a chance where the Diamondbacks get a win. We talked about it earlier. They're right. This National League wild card race has 4 or 5 teams all within a game of one another, and the Diamondbacks find themselves in the center of it. So a really important game for both teams, and I like the Diamondbacks tonight.
By the way, the Diamondbacks did go through that little swoon here midseason, so it looks like they got that out of the way. Maybe they could peak at the right time here at this point. We'll see what happens tonight. Rangers versus the Diamondbacks, but that'll do it today for the show. For Mike Blewett, now look at that, rising and grinding with us here on the early line, doing yeoman's work. Certainly love to see it. And also, he's going to the Yankees tonight, so maybe a little bit of magic in the ballpark tonight. I'll be back next to shut it down here with a little Listen Up. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Another great show in the books here today for the early line. SiriusXM Channel 159 Sports Grid Network. Today, Mike Blewett, Donnie Wrightside here. Oh, as always, 7 to 9 a.m., we got you covered for the rest of your Sports Grid program, which next does include the morning after coming up with Ben Stevens. So don't go anywhere. Keep it right here on the grid. So many great topics today, which include Major League Baseball. My goodness, we just hit 10 games here. Just about every one of those games with playoff implications. So much fun to talk about, particularly in the National League with 6 teams here vying for chances to get into the playoffs. We are going to have a great sprint throughout the month of September there. Also, talking about college football, some news and notes going over. Jim Harbaugh getting suspended. Who's going to be the starting quarterback for Ohio State? And also, the All-American teams are out. Caleb Williams, no surprise there, as the lead quarterback. But as we get closer to the NFL season, things are starting to pop up. Players still unhappy, which include Jonathan Taylor. I want to trade. The Colts go ahead and make a trade out here. I actually don't think anything is really going to happen at this point. Jonathan Taylor is probably going to be back on the Colts and unhappy, so certainly something to keep an eye out for. But also, let's look into the future here. The college football landscape is changing day to day, it seems like, here. And what's going to happen with the college football playoff? Listen up. The SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey, says, yeah, changes are coming once again to college football, because as we take a look at expanding to maybe 8 teams and 12 teams, that had a bearing on Power 5 conferences getting automatic bids for their champions. Well, what's going to take place with the Pac-4 after next year? Is that going to have an automatic bid? No, it can't certainly do that. So what's going to happen? Are we going to have more open slots here? Are we going to have double teams getting in from, let's just say, the SEC or the Big Ten or the ACC? Changes are on the horizon. The only thing that I sort of get a little bit upset with is we're finally getting to the notion that the expanded playoff is the way to go. More money, more visibility, and fairness here, because everybody loves it. We love the NFL playoffs. We love the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, the NHL. You see that? The more teams in it, the more fun it's going to be. So changes are coming in college football. Absolutely. I'll tell you, no change here. The morning after, coming up next. Keep it right here on the grid.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.